Hey there, it's Jamie Bateman. Ever felt boxed in by life's challenges? Dive into my new book, From Adversity to Abundance, Inspiring Stories of Mental, Physical, and Financial Transformation, available now on Amazon. From a former bank robber's redemption to a young entrepreneur's victory over hurdles, these stories are not just inspiration. They're the roadmaps to your transformation. Whether for you or as a powerful gift to friends and family, especially those who might not tune into podcasts, this book is a beacon to a life of abundance. Ignite that inner fire and set your course to the life you've imagined. Purchase yours today on Amazon and light the path for someone you love. If you are looking for inspiration, you're in the right place. Todd Saylor joins us today. He brings a lot of energy, a lot of emotion, a lot of passion. He gets emotional on the show a couple times. We talk about how when he was 24, 25, he hit rock bottom financially, relationship-wise, mental health-wise. And he certainly had a lot of other ups and downs over the ensuing decades, both professionally and personally. It's jam-packed with inspiration, a lot of scripture, and a lot of he doesn't shy away from the religious and the Christian based discussion points for sure. It's a really good episode. Todd's a guy who he is an entrepreneur, a coach, a visionary. He's got a retreat coming up. He's an author. He's got a series of books in the Wired Differently series. His latest is called Your Will Be Done. Like I said, a ton of passion, business coach, speaker, author. He's been through a lot of different things. We talk a lot about his father's donut business, which is a really fun one, and how Todd ended up rescuing the company a few years ago and turning it around after near bankruptcy. So this is a fun one. It's passionate. It's hard to listen to this episode and not walk away inspired. I know you're going to love it.
Welcome to the From Adversity to Abundance podcast. Are you an entrepreneur or aspiring entrepreneur? Then this show is for you. Each week, we bring you impactful stories of real people who have overcome painful human adversity to create a life of abundance. A life of abundance. You are not alone in your struggle. Join us, and you will experience the power of true stories and gain practical knowledge from founders who have turned poverty into prosperity and weakness into wealth. This podcast will encourage you through your health, relationship, and financial challenges so you can become the hero in your quest for freedom. Take ownership of the life you are destined to live. Turn your adversity into abundance.
All right, here's the deal. You work hard for your money. Isn't it about time you put your money to work for you? If you are an accredited investor, check out LabradorLending.com. Our Integrity Income Fund provides monthly cash flow from an investment backed by hard physical real estate. Our income fund, which is uncorrelated to publicly traded stocks and bonds, invests in first lien mortgage notes diversified by geography, property value, and borrower type. So you're not investing in one project. You're investing in a diversified portfolio of first lien mortgage notes. Our Integrity Income Fund aims to pay its investors monthly distributions at a preferred rate of return of 8% annually. Possibly the best part, though, the fund showcases a short 12-month commitment. So you can invest your capital today and have access to that capital in 1 year. Check it out today, LabradorLending.com. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the From Adversity to Abundance podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Bateman, and I'm pumped today to have with us Todd Saylor of Wired Differently. Todd, how are you doing today?
Oh, Jamie, man. Listen, I'm super excited. We had a little bit of time before the show, and I got to tell you, I'm pushing like 20 podcasts on this podcast tour, and you're podcast is so genuine. I find a comfort actually just in your voice. So I'm super excited about this. I might turn up the volume a little bit if it's okay, but let's see. We got some work to do here. Let's get it on like Donkey Kong.
There we go. All right. You're bringing the energy. I love it.
Go.
Yeah. So for the listener, Todd, you are an entrepreneur, CEO, speaker, business coach, philanthropist, leader, visionary, author. I know you've you've got three books. You have the newest book called Your Will Be Done, and we'll get into your books later. Yeah, thanks for taking the time and stopping by. I'm excited to jump in. So for the listener who's unfamiliar with you or you know not overly familiar with you, what are you up to today?
Oh, geez. Listen, we've got a lot going on. I know we have some things we want to go through in the show, but
yeah,
that's a loaded question. So literally, I'm actually making a movie right now, a major motion picture, The Tiger in Us. Everyone's crazy wants to see what that is. TheTigerInUs.com. You can see that trailer. It's a beautiful movie about a son and a father. It's more of a love story than anything. And the father's quest to break the world win streak record in high school football, as well as preparing these men for war, all set in the 1970s. Well, the movie is literally a real movie. It's going to be a major motion picture, but it's about my father, right?
Huh.
It's about
my
love for my father and what he went through in the 1970s, as he did aspire to break the national win streak record and do all that. So that's one of the top things on my mind. So I'm writing the book right now as we speak, The Tiger in Us. I just released this book here, Your Will Be Done. Where I just poured my heart and soul into this third book of the Wired Differently series. And I really appreciate you asking this question.
Yeah.
This book is a beautiful book about mindset and, more importantly, how we triangulate God's will and our will to actually aspire and to gain the things in this world that we're in here now. I talk about us being misfits. I talk about how we can do these things through understanding our mind framing, and certainly and foremost, understanding how we bring God into that. So great, great book.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tiki Hut event. It's coming up October 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th. I'm sorry, that's a lie. November 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th at the Zotto Resort in Longboat Key. It's a beautiful resort in Florida where we have entrepreneurs, business entrepreneurs come out, and I train them for 4 days at a resort. It's the vacation that pays for itself. And most currently, October 3, 4, and 5, since you asked, Jamie, we have a live free virtual event. If this airs before that, man, I want you on this free live virtual event, Unconventional Brilliance. And we talk about the $31 million success formula, and it's an amazing thing. So I can't wait to have that done. So those are the things that I talk about in my mind.
Yeah, absolutely. You got it. So you don't have anything going on. Got it. You're just hanging out. Just I'm kidding. Yeah, that's awesome. That's a lot. That's, you're clearly bringing a lot of value in a lot of different avenues. We could talk more in depth about that in a little bit. Let's jump into your backstory. Obviously, so from adversity to abundance, we're speaking to entrepreneurs or people who may have a side hustle or they want to become an entrepreneur. They're thinking about it, small business owner. And you know, what we're trying to really kind of peel back the onion on is some personal adversity that you, Todd, have been through, whether that's health, relationship, financial, spiritual, and take some lessons. And, you know, we're not trying to make anybody cry on the show or anything like that, but we're trying to keep it real and get a little vulnerable here. And that way we can benefit the listener. So the listener understands, look, we all go through hard times. Life is not always easy. And you're going to face additional adversity. You are, I am, we all are. So if we can kind of come together and understand that, you know, mindset is critical. That's obviously something that's going to, I would guess, is going to come out of this episode. You know, but the goal here is for us to learn from you, Todd, and from your story and be moved and inspired, but also benefit practically, you know, from what you have to offer. So let's jump back. Where do you want to start in your backstory?
Oh my goodness. Well, I think we would start from my first book, which basically adversity inspired the first book. The first book is just titled Wired Differently. and you have that book. And I actually originally wrote that book to create an archive of this whole idea of adversity to abundance. So the book is a beautiful book, and I was writing it for my children and my children's children. And as I got into the book, I realized this is pretty good. And I think that people need to hear about this comeback or this adversity. And you think about, you know, one of the things you said to me early on is, you know, if you have a story in adversity of faith, or you have a story of adversity or financial, you have a story of adversity of health, you have a story of adversity in relationships. I'm like, dude, we all have adversity in every one of these buckets, right? And I know this is your show. I know you know that answer, but listen, if I had to pick one that hurt me the most, I'd have a hard time. Because at any point in my life, I can tell you what I learned from any one of these adversities. You know, the freshest one is always financial. Freshest.
Okay.
Because I think people like us, wired differently, people are constantly putting ourselves in these positions to be burdened. We're always putting ourselves in these positions to, you know, have adversity. Yeah. But the thing that I would tell you from my first get from jump would probably be financial.
Okay.
And it's funny how financial drives literally everything.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's critically important. So let's get a little bit specific as far as your own personal financial adversity, if you're okay with that.
I have no problems with it. Back in the 80s, out of college, I graduated from Manchester University. And, it's an interesting thing. I was a standout Hall of Fame wide receiver at Manchester University, and I actually had pro trials and things of that nature. So your mind is one place in college, right? And you're I don't know how to explain it, but you're like everything. Yeah. People are around you, and they want to be around you, and you're only 20 years old. And can you imagine these kids now making $3 to $5 million in college to play college, and movie deals and book deals and professionals walking around campus, 18, 19, 20 years old. But back then we didn't have the NILs, but you were built up, right?
Sure.
And so absolutely. I left college. Yeah. Well, so when I left college, I figured, oh man, I got to get a job, right? I got to figure this thing out. And you couldn't go back home back in the day. You're not like, hey, Dad. First of all, you can't even get a hold of your parents unless you had a phone or something, right?
Right.
And if you did have a pay phone, you'd have to hope that they were near a phone to answer the phone. I'm like, you weren't communicating with your parents.
But if I can just jump in real fast, because I think what you're saying is basically your identity. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but because I can relate to this on some level as well. I was a college lacrosse player, you know, pretty successful, and you know, back in the day, right? And nowadays, you know, nobody cares, right? But at that point, I was, you know, we
I
were
care.
Number one.
Maybe
we were number.
I care.
Yeah, Todd, you care, right? That's why we're recording this podcast, so you can. but
wired differently.
You know, but the fact is, like, you know, all of a sudden that's over, and your identity is wrapped up in that, right? So that's who you were. You were a wide receiver. It sounds like, you know, you got a lot of attention and had a lot of success with your ability to perform on the field. And then now what, right? It's all of a sudden you got to reinvent yourself. So what did you do at that point?
Well, that really was the setup. So you move into life and you're trying to figure out how you're going to kind of keep this level of identity, or like you're putting it at identity. But I ended up falling in love with my wife now. We've been together over 40 years. And so if there's anyone I would share with you is of the abundance, it would be with my wife. It hasn't always been easy. And I think we're going to touch on this idea. Yeah. So when I get through college and I decide I've got to make a living, I realize that I changed my major to business because the teachers weren't making any money, and she was an accountant. I'm like, I'm not going to make less money than her, right? So I had to figure out a way. So anyways, long story short, I left school. I got a job at Taco Bell, believe it or not.
Okay.
The corporate fast track program. Didn't like that. I did it for a year. Then I went into the donut business. So what you need to understand is I grew up a donut maker. So my craft is donut making. I literally own 16 companies right now. And one of them now, after 2018, I purchased my father's business. out of bankruptcy and revived it. And now we are the donut capital of the world, but I digress. So if you donut capital world, Google that baby right now and you'll see us. So anyways, you go through this, I want to marry this woman. I got to find a job and we get through all this. And in my aggressive nature, I'm forcing all this. I get married and I push this donut business and we go through the donut business for maybe some 3 years. And at the end of 3 years, let's just make this a short story. I'll lose everything. I didn't have much, but I had 4 locations. I had a baby on the way and things were moving through time. And, you know, I'm 25 years old now and I got a beautiful wife who's looking at me and like, man, you used to be a big deal. Now we have no money, right? Now we have literally no hope. We have not a lot going on. So we move through all that. And then all of a sudden what happens is this financial thing. This big thing, and I want everyone to follow me right here because here's the cascade. It was just financial.
Yeah.
Then it turned into health because then it became mental. So what was adversity just financial?
Right.
Then turned into your health because your mental health started to suffer. Right. So now it's financial. Absolutely. Now it's health. Right. And then that, what happens then after that?
Let me guess. Relationship. Yep. You got it. Yep.
Relationship. Right. And so you don't just get one of these at a time, brother. You get them all. It's on. Yeah. You know, you turn on financial, then you turn on mental, and then you turn on relationship. And then if you have God in your life, oh my goodness, if you don't turn to Him, then your spiritual crisis occurs.
So and I couldn't agree more. It's all related. There's, you know, certainly not compartmented at all. And we don't need to, you know, kind of look back and beat you up too much about what you did wrong, but just for the listener, what actually went wrong, or was it circumstances? What led to it?
What happened in there is I was young and I was too aggressive and I took somebody's advice to grow and he ended up stealing the money and left me there with buildings and all this debt and a baby in a crib and a wife that was a wonderful wife, but I was really in a bad spot. And so interestingly enough, I write about it in my first book. I was in one of my last donut shops and it was about 2 a.m. and the president of my ex university, Manchester Univ, rolled up there at 2 a.m. for some reason, the craziest thing ever. And he says, how you doing? And I've got flour all over me, you know, and I'm feeling like complete crap because I know I've lost everything. This is going to be gone. Everything's going to be gone. And I here I am. I'm scoring touchdowns, having pro trial, having all this stuff going on. And this guy rolls up and sees me in an apron, flour, tells I'm not in a good mental spot. And I said, great, everything's going great. And then I just remember going back into the kitchen and thinking, no, I'm going to go back out there and talk to him. And I told him, I said, I'm on the brink of losing my marriage of 4 years. I'm on the brink of losing everything I have here. This is what has happened. This is how I got took advantage of. It was my fault. I didn't read the fine print. He says, man, I said, I'm in a tough spot. He says, you know what? Let me call you tomorrow. So he goes home. The next day passes. I think it was the following day. He calls me. He says, hey, you know what, Todd? I just want to let you know it was nice seeing you. And I got to tell you, I want you to understand how proud I am of you.
That you didn't expect to hear that at that moment, right?
And, you know, and I didn't know what. And I said, yeah, you know, why? He said, because you told me the truth. You know, you weren't caught up in your pride. You know, you weren't still on the football, but you were like, you have a child, you have a future. He says, I made a phone call for you and I called Barnes and Thornburg, the number one attorney counsel in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I said, you did? He goes, yeah, I want you to call this man right here. So I called him the next day and he said, hi, Todd, how are you? I've heard all about you. I'm super excited. I got 4 attorneys in here with me right now and we can't wait to talk to you. I said, oh my goodness. He says, when can you come here? I got Steve, Jim, Joe, and blah, blah, blah. I said, so I went there the next day and they were all there lined up for me. They said, we understand what you're going through and we're sorry. Can you just tell us your story and how this happened? So I went through how the man took advantage of the lease and the money and set me up. And he says, here's what we're going to do. We are going to file this, do this. We're going to call him. We're going to serve a notice. We're in all this stuff. And I'm like, This is the craziest thing I've ever seen. And we moved on down the road, called them up the next week. They'd served all this. They filed this. They did that. And within 30 days, they had exonerated all my debt. They had moved this guy into a position where he couldn't do anything. Wow. And they put him in his place. And so I guess I wasn't prepared for this story, but I just wanted to share with you. That was the beginning of my adversity. But honestly, I want to tell you, I got myself in a lot more trouble after that. But the point of the matter is that like God is so super cool. And I think that when we're in adversity, I think we need to understand that there is this thing called karma. There is this thing out there that does come back around. And some of the things that you have done and some of the people that you have taken care of and some of the things that you've done in your past will come to fruition for you. Mm-hmm. There is hope, right? I'm just telling you, Jamie, there is hope in your restitution. There is hope in your abundant recovery. And so mm-hmm. when we went through all that, I remember thinking I went from completely being depressed, a marriage on the brink, financial hell, right? And a sure. reputation that would crucify me from business going forward to, hey, I got this. And so I write about that in the book, and then I take it through, and I obviously have to finish. And the people that I did owe money, I went back and paid them. It took me 8 years, and we moved through that, and I never, ever filed bankruptcy. But that very first moment of being crushed, being in a place where it didn't look like there was any hope, has never left me. It's never left me. And I got to tell you, Psalms 31:24, be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord, right? Hope in the Lord. And I didn't have that strong faith early on. But now when mm-hmm. I go back as a 59-year-old man and I look at that, this is what hope looks like. This mm-hmm. is what a deliverer looks like. This is what abundance looks like in a mm-hmm. certain shade of a color, right? So yeah, that's one really of the good. First earliest stories I can tell you about the abundance. No,
I appreciate that. And it's, I think you said you were, what, 24, 25?
25.
That point? 25. So you know, a couple years ago, but and again, we keep it real on the show, and success is not a straight line, you know, up and to the right. Everybody's story has ups, downs, twists, turns, and it sounds like you had some other I don't want to say rock bottom, but some other low points along the way.
I would tell you that I'm not a person that doesn't push the envelope. And later on in life, obviously, I learned from that. And our marriage has been tested. Mm-hmm. My aggressive attack mode when it comes to business and taking risk mm-hmm. and those things. You know, my wife's not a risk taker. Mm-hmm. You know, after, you know, 25 years of that, 30 years of that, there is a piece of you, a piece of her, a piece of somebody that's like, how much can I take of a person this nature? Mm-hmm. We had those difficult conversations. Mm-hmm. I would tell you this in my second book, Drift Again, that's one word, Drift Again, capital DRIFT, capital AGAIN, Drift Again. Great, wired mm-hmm. different word, right?
Yeah.
I remember my 2003 model PayServe Systems, which is my largest company I own right now. My wife and I have poured everything into that. And that has challenged our relationship. That has challenged mm-hmm. our children's relationship with us. It's challenged everything. But I remember year 20, I'm sorry, it's been 25 now. So I would say about year 18, 17, we had worked so hard to get to this position. And a piece of software we invested everything into failed. Literally failed. Four MBAs, two CPAs. We rebooted the entire nationwide company, and we were on the brink of basically losing everything. And I remember crying. I remember praying, trying to look strong in front of our employees and, you know, until finally it just kind of hit me. It's like, okay, it is what it is. You know, let's go take it. Let's put the plan together. And so, we were able to move that around too. There's just many adversity stories.
Absolutely. Now, a couple of things I want to dive into a little bit further. One is, what is it? When do you know kind of, I guess, when a business really has failed, if you want to put it that way, you know, and there's no one size fits all answer. We know that every situation is different, but, you know, most businesses do fail, let's be honest, right? So it's not actually a high success rate in the small business world. So how do you know when it's time to just say that that didn't work and we're going to, it's done? What how did you navigate that situation? Maybe in that 2017, 2018 company or any other business, how do you approach that?
Great question. I honestly, I write about it in my second book. It's called Your No Mas Moment. You know, that's Spanish for no more.
Yeah.
There's an epic story about Roberto Duran fighting Sugar Ray Leonard. And Roberto was fighting Sugar Ray, and it was a great fight. But Sugar Ray had outperformed Roberto Duran, not only physically, but mentally, more importantly. And I think Roberto didn't prepare the right way, and he might have had too many diuretics or something of that nature. But I just remember where Roberto at he kind of pulled up his gloves and he just said, "I'm done." He said, "No mas." And Sugar Ray looked at him. He was like, "What do you mean? We're out here. You're standing up. You're looking me in the eyes. Let's fight." And and he said, "No mas, no mas," which is Spanish for no more, no more. And he wasn't getting pummeled or anything of that nature. He just couldn't go any farther. And you dig into the story a little more. It was stomach cramps, leg cramps, all kinds of things. And I think he never said, "I quit." He just said, "No mas." And so I talk about that in the Wired Differently vernacular. In our books, we have a glossary of terms. And I think that it's important that as an entrepreneur or a business person, that you are aware that you're going to have a no mas moment. And I think that's it's a special moment that only a CEO or an owner, and I say special because it is a special one. It's a very private moment. It's, you know, man, you make me cry the second time on this show. But it's one of those things where only you know it when you know it. And, you know, we're going to fight and fight and fight until Roberto finally realizes that if he doesn't take care of his stomach and his mind, never be able to step into the ring again.
That's really good. So essentially, live another live to fight another day, right?
At that, but it's not quitting. It's your no mas moment. I mean, it quitting would mean, you know, like you just gave up and you didn't have a plan. You didn't have any understanding. But I think that but Roberto is an inspirational person to me from that perspective. Is it's like, as much as we didn't look at him as a sophisticated fighter, I got to tell you, he ends up coming back on the third fight and they fight a damn near death match to the final second of the final round. Right. I mean, it was like amazing. Wow. And from a business perspective, it was a financial win for everybody. Right. Everybody kicked some ass in that one.
Yeah.
Right?
That's awesome.
But I think Roberto lost by a smidge. But he redeemed his name. He was able to go back into Mexico or Panama, and he was able to go in, and he was able to be a hero and all those things. And so how do I know? I wish I could give you a good answer, but I think it's that point where you know that you're going to hurt your wife, your children, and you're going to hurt the employees. And because, you know, we'll fly the – I can give you another story about a man I did business with and a PEO, and I remember the – company was crashing and I was an executive on the team. And I went to him, I said, "Listen, this is not going to work. We got clients all over the country and I feel horrible about this, but maybe we should move our clients and piggyback with another company where we can lick our wounds and figure out our insurance and get our company straight." And I remember him looking at me, Jamie, and he says, "You know what, Todd, you're a quitter. Wow. We're going to fly this effort into the wall." And I remember that I was probably 38 years old. I was making probably $900,000 a year of this company. All the clients on this company were mine, right? And I'm thinking about the client's well-being because they're going to be left without health insurance, without workers' comp, without leadership. And I'm like, we got to find them a safe haven. But no, this guy said we're going to fly it into law. I mean, so some people just don't get that, right? Yeah. And I would tell you, when you start to really, really see how much it's going to affect your employees and their family members is when you got to decide when it's going to be your no mas moment. And I've been in a few of those. And, you know, I've been able to keep those employees, move them into other companies and grow the other companies.
Sure. No, that's really good. And again, it's not an easy question to answer, to be honest.
Oh, you know, one, man. How many guys you asked that question to? Come on, Jamie.
Yeah, that was great. That was a great answer. Yeah. But I think ultimately you get to the point, what you're getting at it and what you've said is that it's really it's really not about you. It's about other people, right? And that's a common theme on our show, is getting through those tough situations. Yes, you have to lick your wounds or deal with your own personal situation. We're not ignoring that. But at the end of the day, to pull yourself out of a tough situation, it's really about focusing on others and how you can best serve others. The second thing I wanted to dive into a little bit more is just the, you know, because I know you're a Christian, you're a religious man. Maybe you don't, you know, I don't want to label you, but I, you're obviously quoting scripture already. Curious to see, to get your take on your view of money. And you've already mentioned money, and this is obviously, you know, a very important topic. But I just think it's such a hot topic still these days, you know, the view of money. And you know, have the kind of the, I'll say, old school, the older generation, where they kind of tend to hoard money and think that money may be bad and the pursuit of money is bad. And how do you frame that? What's your view of money, and how do you frame that with your faith as well?
I think when you talk about abundance and you talk about, you know, this whole idea of having adversity, and a lot of it does come through money, it comes through finances. I think marriages are easier to get through some, certainly, relationship challenges than they are to even to go through the lack of money or bankruptcy and some of those things. So one of the things I look at myself is when I'm coaching people, and I'm a functional business coach. I coach people personally, I coach them spiritually, and I coach them profitably. And so money is obviously the driver. You know, I need some of it to get paid. They need some of it to pay their bills. And I talk in my third book, Riches to Wealth. I spend a lot of time on understanding the concept of riches versus wealth. And I think money is very important. So there's two paths on money, right? The money, I as an entrepreneur or a business person, I have had the gift of not seeing money as money. Like, I know what money is, and I know I'd like to carry a wad of hundreds around with me. I know what money is. Yeah. I know what it feels like and what I can buy with it. But and that's how my wife sees money. Like, she sees money like, oh my God, that's a house, right? Oh my gosh, this house insurance. Our house insurance went up $15,000. Literally, just our hazard insurance went to $25,000 this year. Can you imagine the horror that my wife went through that? Like, that's $9,000. I'm like, so I have the gift, right? I don't see it like that. I know it's going to affect me, but to me, I'm just going to move a few things around. And I'm not trying to be arrogant here. I'm just saying money is more of a widget to me.
That's good.
So it's good and it's bad, right? You know, when I lose $100,000, that's bad, but I don't feel it like she would. Because I see it as a widget, and I'm just going to figure out how to go make it back and make something work that way. Sure. So, but when it comes to spiritually, when you look at money, I think, you know, God speaks about it in Hebrews. But basically, when he talks to you about it in Hebrews, it's not really the love of money. It's the love of money, right, and all that. But he says, remember this, I will never leave you nor forsake you, for then... Jamie, what can man do to you? Right on the heels of Hebrews 13:5, when he teaches us about money and not the love money, but the love of money is the, you know, all that, everyone's heard it, and we get that point. But he says, but you know, even after all that, I just want you to remember this one thing. He says, listen to me, Todd, very closely. I will never leave you. Jamie, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Right. And I'm like, okay, so what's that mean? Like, you don't have to worry about money so much. I want you to understand that no matter what about money, I'm never going to leave you, or I'm never going to forsake you. So then what can man do to you, Todd? So,
really good.
You know, I'm giving you two pieces of money. I think spiritual talks about it, and you know, they didn't have actual cash in the way back machine, but they had gold and they had perfumes and lavender and all that kind of stuff. But
Man,
I will tell you this. I don't love money. I do love keeping score with it and doing great things with it.
Yeah, that's really good. No, I agree. I'm with you. It's I think it's critically important. It's a very important topic, and we shouldn't ignore it, you know, because some people find it easier just to not not even think about money, not pursue money, not to take ownership of their own financial situation. But the other extreme is not great either, where you're literally worshiping money and chasing money, and where money is the end all be all, the end goal. I agree with you. It's a tool, a very important tool, and can be used for good, can be used for bad. I kind of oftentimes I liken it to the internet, where it's a very powerful thing. Is it inherently good or bad? No, but we need to take ownership of it and be, you know, stewards of it.
A lot of people just aren't, you know, not everyone wakes up and really wants to even deal with that stuff. They want to, I love the person who just wants to go to work and keep it real.
Yeah, like, sure.
I'm going to get up. I'm going to go do this job. I'm going to be the best hotel manager. I'm going to be the best housekeeper. And money to them is, it doesn't matter how much they have. It's just matters how much they have left after they've paid their bills and done their thing. And they live a life in that regards. And they're not out there. You know, some of us, you know, I'm going to teach people how to get out there and think about really what you want. And if you're somebody wants to go get it, I can teach you how to make the money to do that. But my position is, why would I do that if I can't teach you first how to keep it? And more importantly, how to share it. And so that's why you bring up a great topic. I want to coach people personally, spiritually, profitably, or what we would say, fruitfully.
Yeah, I love that. So looking back, and I know you still have plenty of, you know, entrepreneurial years ahead of you, but looking back so far, what have been one or two highlights, if you will, as far as just a business you're most proud of, or just, an industry that's your favorite looking back?
Well, I mean, I don't think we ever really lose our roots. You know, where did you grow up? Where did you grow up?
Maryland. Yeah,
Maryland. So, like, do you still in Maryland now?
Yes, I am. Yep, I've ventured out a little bit, but we're back. At least for the foreseeable future, we're in Baltimore County, Maryland.
How far are you from your very like your first home or where you grew up?
Actually, I'm kind of in between the two. I'm not far. 20 minutes.
So there's still a special feeling if you do go back there. I think anytime you go home, you know, there's always going to be a safe spot. So I told you at the early part of the show, I started making donuts in a donut shop for my father when I was 8. And I guess the best business story and the most personal feel-good story would be the donut capital of the world. So in 1970, my father started this little donut trailer and started selling donuts. And I would go there and wash dishes and sell donuts and make change and do all that every summer. So that was my existence.
Yeah, that's cool.
When I never had a weekend off until I was 22 years old. And so long story short, my dad's in his 80s now. And for some reason, about 6, 7, 8 years, maybe even 10 years ago, him and my brother started having a really bad time with the business. And in 2018, I acquired everything, the assets and got everybody in a good position so they weren't in a problem. I said, I'm going to turn this into the donut capital world. And my daddy looked at me and he says, you know, Todd, why are you that way? And I'm like, what, Dad? You know, he's 80. And I said, you know, this is how you made me. I love my dad. The book, The Tiger In Us, obviously the movie Tiger In Us is about him and his coaching exploits. He said, you can't just go out there and tell people you're the donut capital of the world. You just can't make stuff up. I said, Dad, no one else is the donut capital of the world. We've been doing this 50 some years. Thousands of people come here every summer. They wait in line hours. You've worked very hard. This is the damn donut capital of the world. That's the donut capital of the world. And I walk around telling everybody it's the donut capital of the world. I said, I'm going to make this the donut capital of the world. He says, my gosh, son, he was hiding from me. He was running. And I said, listen. Year after year. So the next year I kept saying, and then people started saying, this is the donut capital world. At first they were laughing at me, right, Jamie? But then I started saying, and I bought this Jeep and put the name on a big red Jeep. I drove it around town and they started saying it. So then I would say it, then they would say it. So 3 years later, I was putting it on the Facebook and the TV and everything. I said, we're going to break the world record for the most donuts made and sold ever in the world. And my dad's like, Todd, why do you keep saying things like this? I said, Dad, because we're the donut capital of the world, we're going to break the world record, and then we will be the undisputed donut capital of the world, and I'm going to break four more world records. She said, my gosh, son, you got to stop this. Sure enough, Memorial Day, last year, 2022, Guinness showed up. We put the whole thing together. I put up a $20,000 sign that said the donut capital of the world, lit the whole place up. And at 6 a.m., the gun went off, and people waited in line for, they started coming at 4 in the morning, Jamie. And people waited in line for our donuts until we stopped the contest until 2 o'clock. We had nonstop customers, hours and hours of lines. Long story short, we needed to do 2,700 donuts or something like that, and we sold 8,558 donuts. We shattered the World Guinness Book of Records. And
wow. In 8 hours, it says here. Yeah. That's yep. amazing.
Oh, did you Google the donut capital?
I just did, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. That's one of my favorite stories. And I think it's the power of the will, right? Your will be done. What are you thinking about? What are you listening to on the show here? Why are you just sitting around thinking that maybe this might be a good idea when you can actually start to do it?
Right.
You can actually just decide. You don't have to be in adversity anymore if you can just simply become what I would call a successionaire. And the simple way to become a successionaire is not to make $1 million, it's to become successful in your thought processes. And the thought process formula I would give you is simply this, Jamie: the most successful people in the world know one thing first and foremost. They know what they want.
They know what they want. That's awesome.
Exactly what they want, Jamie. This isn't just I was thinking about something. I knew I was going to be the donut capital of the world. This is your lesson right now, everybody. I knew. Insert whatever you want right there and say, this is what you're going to be. And then it simply comes down to this: create a plan and execute it. Create a plan and execute it. Elon Musk went to the Mars, didn't he? But you know what? Something just as important as Elon Musk going to the Mars is my wife fixing my type 1 diabetic daughter, who we were just diagnosed. It's an awful story. Her gluten intolerant meal, it took us all day. We go there, we get the right food, we put it together. And at 5 o'clock, 5:15, she got the Dexcom on her arm, and we're all getting her ready. We're trying to break this thing, which is a modern day medical miracle. We have beat type 1 diabetes. God bless these doctors, and God bless my wife for going. But she cooked the meal so perfectly. Took her a day, right? So let me ask you, what's more important? A plan that's executed to cook my type 1 diabetic daughter the most perfect meal to help save her life, or this $40 trillion billion deal where we go to the Mars? So my point of this is, success is success. Success is merely a formula of creating a plan and executing it. And if you do that over and over and over again, Jamie, you're not making this difficult. You aspire to be a successionaire. And so when I would coach somebody, don't tell me you want to be a millionaire. Tell me what you want to accomplish, and I'll teach you how to accomplish what that is. Now, if you want to become a millionaire, then we'll put that in the crosshairs of this process. We'll figure out what things are going to be that you need to do to get to that position.
Right.
You've got to learn how to be a successionaire. You've got to learn how to be successful. And that's the story I would give you. And
yeah, that's really good.
That's what I do.
I mean, it's, I don't know where I read this, but just even just, you know, if you're walking in a store and you know where to go, it's so much easier for people get out of your way, or they help you get to where you want to go. If you're wandering around and you don't know where you're going, it creates confusion for everyone, doesn't help anybody. So when you do have that clarity of you know, that vision and that clarity of direction, people want to help you get there, or they just want to get out of your way.
I mean, I'm sure you fly, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a great story, because you got me thinking about this guy, this dodo bird is probably me half the time, but you got all these people at Atlanta airport walking back and forth. There's always this one guy who doesn't know where he's going.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's got his damn phone. He doesn't know where he's going. All of a sudden he just stops in the middle of all these people, and then like people are running and doing this. Like, this is
exactly
chaos.
Creates problems for everybody. So no, that clarity is good for everyone. That's awesome. So yeah. Anything else to add as far as just a mindset or speaking things into the universe, if you will?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's not an unknown thing, and people have been talking about it for many, many years. But this whole idea of being wired differently is learning. I would just share this basically three phases of being wired differently. One is that we all are wired differently from jump. We're created wired differently. We have some 1,000 trillion neurons by the time we're 3 years old, Jamie. That's a quadrillion, and that's 15 zeros. So then you got to connect all those neurons, and it's an infinite creation. We're clearly wired differently when we're born. God has wired us differently. But secondly, the second phase of becoming wired differently is this idea that probably in many cases, the most business important thing is that we can learn how to use our mind, right? Mm-hmm. Not brain. See, our brain was created for survival, but our mind was created for success. Mm. Your prefrontal cortex, the CEO, the decision maker. Intake, the world's throwing things at us, and we can just let the world program our conscious mind and let that drop into our subconscious mind and be like me one day. I woke up with, I don't know, 1,000 Mike Lindell my pillows, and I had a bunch of blankets, and I had some towels and some slippers and some sheets. I mean, like, because the world just throws things at you, and if you're not understanding that this stuff is dropping into your subconscious, you're going to let anything in there. I don't care if it's Mike Lindell pillows or it's pornography, man. You got to be in control of what's being dropped into your mind.
Yeah, absolutely. So, that's really good.
So if you can learn how to control what's going into that subconscious, then I will be able to teach you how to actualize. And so that's the beginning of the donut capital world. That's the beginning of understanding how to become a millionaire, understanding how to become a successionaire. And last but not least, when you really want to triangulate all this, the last phase is the salvation phase, when we literally decide, okay, God wired us differently from the beginning, and he gave us a brain, and he loved us so much that he said, you know what, I love you so much that you don't have to love me, but I'm going to still give you a brain that's super successful if you want to use it the right way. But last but not least, he says, but I would rather you accept me right into your heart, so that my will can become your will, instead of you just running around here on this world with just
do whatever you want. Yeah, got it. That's powerful stuff. All right, you ready for some rapid fire questions, Todd?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Awesome. What is one thing that people misunderstand about you?
My ego.
Yeah. How so?
They think I'm arrogant. All right, next question.
All right.
I'm not. I just love them, and I'm confident enough to tell them it does matter how you feel about yourself. It does matter that you're confident. It does matter that you carry yourself in a positive way, because that's the way, that's what we want people to be. We want people to be successful. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's good. You've talked about some real low points. What's another failure, however you want to frame it? Sometimes people don't like that word, but you know, if you had a chance to redo something in your personal or professional life, what would that be?
I think in my personal life, I would have been more purposeful about spending better time with my children early on and paying attention to my wife differently in my early business saturated life, for sure.
Yeah. For sure. It's easy. I guess trap or thing to fall into for entrepreneurs. So appreciate you being
less about me, more about them.
Sure. Got it. If you could go back, maybe related, maybe not. If you could go back and give your 18-year-old self some advice, what would that be?
You're going to lose your hair. Stop worrying about it. And you're going to be more attractive without hair than what you are right now. And so this is where the ego thing comes in.
I love that. That's great. If you could have coffee with any historical figure, who would that be?
Well, I'm just going to take, you know, obviously, gosh, man, wouldn't it be awesome to just sit down and have a talk with Christ. But I mean, I think a lot of people would want that. So I would say from a secular world, I think I would, you know, President Truman.
Okay.
I think because he's fresh in my mind right now. I'm doing a study on him.
Okay.
What a bizarre time and what he went through. And so
Yeah, it's a good one. I don't think we've had that one on the show yet. So
the holy atomic bomb thing and what he had to go through and pressure of the world. You know, do we kill, 3,000, 4,000 people, whatever that is? And, what a decision that.
Yeah, it's they're all bad options in some way.
Yeah.
If you were given $10 million tomorrow, Todd, what would you do with it? No strings attached. What would you do with $10 million?
Oh, I'd invest it.
Yeah, that's a good answer. What is a challenge?
Is there anything? You give me another answer. Who would do anything?
We've had different.
Like someone to go buy something?
Yeah, I've definitely had different answers to that one. It's not an easy one. Most people, it's invested is probably the most common answer. Yes.
Well, I would buy, I'd buy business and it would be great.
Speaking of business, what is a challenge that you're facing in your business or any of your businesses right now?
Yeah, I would tell you that most of my businesses are going very well. We've got great leaders. Very proud of all of them. This Wire Differently is a challenge. We were talking about earlier, how can we get more views? How can we get more followers?
Right.
I've been blessed to have the stage with great people like Sebastian Gorka, Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, Brandon Tatum. A lot of great people, Nick LaLenda. But at the end of the day, it's really kind of hard to make it in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time and it's a different type of business. It's built around basically me. Whereas my bricks and mortar businesses are built around me fortifying other people.
Mm.
And, I'm a great coach. I really believe I am. It's just how do you get to stages? How do you become, I hate to use the word famous, but you need to become more recognizable to really through this infinite world of Facebook and social media.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, there's just so many of us out there. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even know if a lot of it's even as possible as it used to be at one point, but
I appreciate that. That's really good. Cause it is a different world. I'm sorry.
I just want to encourage you in that regard too, because I know it's defeating sometimes,
Yeah.
I'll do a live. I do a live every morning, Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm. I've been doing for over a year. I got 100 I've got up to 115 podcasts. 7:30 in the morning at Facebook, Todd Saylor, Wired Differently. You can see me live every morning and it goes to so all the podcasts add up on YouTube. But listen, we work hard at it. And first started, we had no viewers, and now we've got, we had 2,000 viewers by 8:15 this morning. And so it's slow to get there, but when is it,
No, that's good. And you're right. Is there an ego element where you want more views? Sure. But even setting that aside, this is the world we live in. And so if you're trying to make an impact and reach as many people as possible in a positive way, you do need followers. You do need, especially if you're doing the personal branding thing and if that's your main thing.
I struggle with it. Obviously you can look at me and say, he's pretty confident. He's got an ego or whatever. But I never really liked the business of going out there and, half the goal of this whole piece is becoming, let's not use the word famous, but recognizable. And it's a whole different mindset. I never even named a company after me. I got 16 companies, never named one Todd or Sailor or any. It's always, and now it's Wired Differently. Yeah. Todd. That's why it started off Wired Differently, but then they made me, you got to be ToddSaylor.com, ToddSaylor.com, ToddSaylor.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Before we wrap up, I'm in a mastermind group and one of the leaders of the group, his name's Sharan Srivatsa, but he's the most humble guy, but yet super confident. And he fully acknowledges that fame and following is really important, and it's just navigating that is not always easy, but I appreciate you being vulnerable about that. It's an important thing if you're trying to impact people in a positive way. So I know you have several of your own books. Is there a book or two that you could recommend written by someone else for the listener?
Yeah, I really loved Fearless with Nick Wallenda, a great, great book. Another book with Dr. Daniel Amen. Dr. Daniel Amen, it's a life-changing book. Get Better Fast, amazing. It's going to talk to you about the brain. It's going to talk to you about the nerve. It's a really, it's not as entertaining as the book I read. Yeah.
I know who you're talking about.
You're going to learn a lot from that book. Mm-hmm. I think those two are the best ones that come to the top. Great books.
Okay. Awesome. Well, Todd, this has been really, really good. What's one question that I have not asked that you wish I had?
I don't know. You're pretty thorough. You threw me for a couple.
Well, you're good on your toes. So
I would have loved to talk more about my wife and our marriage and the success of my family and my children. I have three beautiful daughters, 32, 31, and 24, and four grandchildren. I think
you said 40 years of marriage, you said?
Yeah, 40 years of marriage. Awesome. Same wife, only wife, lover desperately. And I think there's a message in that, especially in today's age. You know, I'm not telling you it was easy the whole time. I can tell you that much. But I mean, it's just like anything. I'm really good at marriage right now. 40 years, right? And you're going to build a business and you're going to be really good at it, but it isn't going to happen in 5 years.
Yeah, that's really good.
It just doesn't. And this whole parenting thing, man, never try to put an ROI on a child because it never works out on a balance sheet. But I will tell you this, the grandbabies do. And the whole idea of riches to wealth, or what I would like to talk to you about, is happiness and joy. Happiness is circumstantial, but joy just happens, right? Mm. And happiness can buy you a donut or a candy bar or a car, but you can't buy joy. Mm. And my marriage has given me joy. It's just happened. Beautifulness of my marriage just happens. It comes my soul, it comes through my heart, it comes through my whole body in these joyous moments when I come back home and I'm traveling and I have her there for me in the worst and difficult times and the best of times. And when I see my children, they give me a hug and they say, "Dad, you know, you were right." I think it's happened like twice, but when that does happen,
both times,
it's a joyful moment, right? It's like, I didn't have to pay for that. I mean, it's like God gave that joy to me, right?
Yeah.
And then grandbabies come, God just releases another stored love that it's joy. You can't buy that even if you had the money, right? So that's what I would love to talk about.
Yeah. It sounds like even through all the ups and downs that you've been through, success you've had, financial success, it really doesn't compare to the relationships, especially with your family members that you've intentionally, you know, worked on and gotten better at. And it sounds like that's what you value the most, along with your faith. Awesome. So you've mentioned a couple places. Is there anywhere else that our listener can find you online, Todd?
I just think we've made it as easy as possible. If you can just go to toddsaylor.com, toddsaylor.com. If you Google The Tiger in Us, you can see a little bit on a website there. And then the trailer of the movie we're getting ready to put together it's a fun place to go there. You've already went to the donut capital of the world.
That makes
me so happy. That's a joyful moment for me, not a happy moment, a joyful moment, right? Mm. I don't know. I think your listeners are great. I think you're doing a great job. And I think, I'll be praying for you tonight. I think you're a super sweet guy and I think you're doing great things. I got the chance to watch a couple of your podcasts beforehand. And I want to just tell your listeners that you guys got a great leader. Jamie is super genuine. And if you ever had the opportunity to sit across a Zoom camera, you would you feel great. You're not scared. You know, you did throw me some curveballs, but not like some. So listen, great job, Jamie. You're a super great dude.
Thanks, Todd. I appreciate that. Thanks for spending your time with us.
Yeah, I'll do it again. You have a great day and make sure you get that book. You will be done. You're not going to regret it for a second, friends.
Absolutely. And to the listener, thank you for spending your most valuable resource with us, and that is your time. Thanks, everyone. Take care.
Investors, Have you ever experienced challenging communication or the headache of tracking taxes and insurance? Meet BiFi, a loan servicing company founded by investors for investors. With an expert team and best-in-class vendors, BiFi will partner with you to service your loan from start to exit. Visit BiFiLS.com to see how you can get started today. That's BiFiLS.com.
Thank you for spending your most valuable resource with us, your time. If you like the show, please share it with your friends and fellow podcast listeners. One entrepreneur at a time, we can change the world. See you next time.